We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey. Double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hop Hall of Fame for dirt. We love you with a deep reverence.
Hi, this is Luka Doncic.
Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving.
And you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
They waiting on my fall off. I'll never call off. Fourth quarter pressure. Back of the jersey. Double sevens. No matter how many times, I never get tired of that reference. Hall of Fame for dirt. We love you with a deep reverence. Backcourt nasty. I wonder who gon' check him. Cuban did his thing when he went and got number 11. I still got his picture on my wall at 707. Feel synonymous with Kyrie, how we both train with aggression. Competition obsolete, trying to breathe life into my dreams. I'm so tired of sleep, still got some work from last season that was incomplete. So hungry for redemption, thank my boys, that's my overeat. Like Luka with his three, if I'm hit, my mic is prone to overheat. I pride myself the most, I'm 22 and my folks proud of me. I took the hard way since I was 10. It was no surprise to me. A step back mass blowing up was no surprise to me. And I'm speaking honestly.
Seven. How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. Just wanted to come on here. It is early night Saturday. Just wanted to recap that Mavs Celtics blowout from Friday night, and not in the good guys' favor. We're going to get into some specific stuff about, you know, Luka Doncic and Jason Tatum, and, you know, not just the MVP debate, but, you know, how people pin both of those players against each other and try to make a debate out of it when, I mean, in all reality, and the numbers back it up, the accolades back it up, it's really not a debate. So, you know, we're going to get into all that. But first, just want to, you know, recap this Mavs-Celtics game. You know, the Mavs, they came into that game coming off of a bounce-back win after they had lost two straight, and then they beat the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. Gritty game on the second night of the back-to-back. They put up 136 points on Toronto on that second night of a back-to-back and got the win. And then going into Boston, I mean, it's just one of those – like one of my friends is a big Celtics fan, and he came to where – last week, and we were talking about this game coming up, and he wanted to place a bet with money – on that game. And I was like, look, if under normal circumstances, you know, if the scheduling was evened out and all that stuff, I probably would. I didn't for this particular one, and my reasoning for it was I knew the Mavs were going to be playing their third game in four nights, obviously. I knew, you know, how good the Celtics are at home. They're now 28-3 on the season at home. And you know, that's the biggest thing though, is, you know, the Mavs rest disadvantage. And, you know, they played the Celtics well in this game. Final score ended up being 138-110, But, you know, that final score didn't really do it justice for how close the game was up until the fourth quarter. You know, it was a 3-point game halfway through the third quarter. And then, you know, I don't want to say it, and, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm just piling on one guy, because I promise I'm not. But, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. subbed into the game when the Mavs were only down 77-74. And by the time he checked back out, about 4 minutes into the fourth quarter, the Mavs were down 18. So, and again, I'm not trying to single one guy out, because, you know, when Timmy's hitting shots, he's important to the Mavs. But there's been a handful of times this season where you look at the box score plus minus, and the big negative number that sometimes pops up with THJ matches the eye test. So, you know, it is what it is. But all I know is the Mavs, and Jason Kidd said something after the game about, you know, you could tell that the Celtics are all about playing team basketball. And I hated that Kidd said that, because I knew, you know, especially with Celtics media and Celtics fans on social media, I knew they were going to take that as Jason Kidd throwing a shot at Luka specifically, because there's this narrative out there that Luka doesn't play team basketball, which is an atrocious narrative. It's asinine. It's stupid. Like, if you like, tell me you don't watch Luka actually play basketball without telling me you don't watch Luka play basketball, because that guy gets everybody involved. He would average probably 20 assists per night if a handful of the passes he throws out there actually got converted. You know, he ended up with like 14 assists in that win against Toronto the other night, and he probably would have had 20 if guys would have hit their open shots. Most namely, Derrick Jones Jr., he had several wide open three-pointers, like as wide open as you can possibly get. And, you know, it just didn't matter. So, you know, I just don't see how people can take what Kidd said and think that it was a direct shot at Luka, because it really wasn't. It was talking about the rest of the team. And, you know, I specifically with Tim Hardaway, and I really do hate to single out one person, but I mentioned it on previous pods. I don't think it's a coincidence that the only time during the Jason Kidd era where the Mavs actually went on a sustained huge run that went into the playoffs as well. You know, they played very well in the regular season. It rolled into the postseason all the way to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think it's coincidence that that happened when Tim Hardaway Jr. was hurt and he wasn't able to play. So, you know, a lot of that's not on Tim Hardaway Jr. I mean, if he's out there playing, he's going to try to do his best. If he can't hit shots or if he can't play defense, you know, he's not forcing his way out there onto the court. You know, it comes back to Jason Kidd, and he's got to find a way to shorten the leash on Tim Hardaway Jr.'s minutes, so to speak. So, you know, if he's not hitting, you know, you can look at the box score and say, hey, this is not working for us right now. Maybe we should pull the plug and try again later if we just have to try again later. But he's got to get it figured out, because a lot of these runs that take the Mavs, that, you know, the Mavs are in the game and then next thing you know, they're out of the game. A lot of those runs happen when Tim Hardaway Jr. is in there. And unless he's just on a scorcher hitting multiple threes, you know, it's hard to overcome his shortcomings on the defensive end. And, you know, you got to try something else. You just have to. I mentioned it before, you know, after the trade deadline and the additions the Mavs made. But, you know, Jason Kidd, he's out of excuses. He's got to get it figured out. If this team, they're definitely going to make the play-in. You know, I have no issues predicting that, because you look at the standings and the Utah Jazz are in the 11th spot and they're like 7 or 8 games under 500 or something like that. So, I mean, the Mavs are going to make the play-in tournament, but if they don't make the playoffs, or if they make the first round of the playoffs and get bounced in that first round, I don't think Jason Kidd is the coach going forward. I don't. I think his time as the Mavs coach is done if he doesn't get it together and figure it out and, you know, get this team firing on all cylinders as we go into this final stretch of the season. He's out of excuses. He's got to figure it out. You know, all season he complained that the Mavs roster didn't have enough size, Well, now it does have enough size, and, you know, he's choosing to play Daniel Gafford 7 minutes per game in some of these games. And I get it. I get it. Gafford isn't the best, you know, guarding in space, and, you know, he'll drop on bigs that can shoot threes, and that can hurt the Mavs too. But you're not even giving the guy a chance to play through that. You know, how can you give Daniel Gafford a 7-minute limit and pull the plug on him completely just because a couple of plays go awry, but you can leave Tim Hardaway Jr. in there for, you know, 12 consecutive minutes, even though the game is completely going downhill? It makes no sense, like no logical sense why – you know, Kidd is choosing to operate the way he is in those specific scenarios. So he's got to figure it out. He's out of excuses. Looking at that Boston game, one thing that really stood out to me was, you know, how PJ Washington continued his assertiveness. Now, he cooled off at one point in the game, but he still finished with 17 points, had a block, 7 rebounds. Only shot 3 of 9 from 3, 7 of 16 overall, but it was good to see him, you know, make an impact, especially in that third quarter when the Mavs got to within 3. That was directly because PJ Washington was hitting his shots. So, and speaking of a guy that might not be getting enough minutes, you know, we talked about Gafford and what Kidd has done with him in a handful of games, but Derek Lively. You know, he had 15 points, was 7 of 7 from the field, had 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block, and only played 23 minutes. Now, I don't know. We haven't heard anything official. I don't know if he's still on a minutes restriction because of that broken nose. That could be it, maybe, but I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Lively, with the way he's playing lately, he should potentially be getting, you know, 30, 32 minutes a game. You know, the Maxi Kleba thing, it's great when it works. when he's not on, or he's, you know, he's passive, he's not taking shots, he's not confident, it's bad. You know, in 20 minutes, Maxi Kleba had 1 point and 2 rebounds in that Boston game. And that's just not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. And okay, so Maxi had 2 rebounds in 20 minutes off the bench. Daniel Gafford against Boston played 6 minutes and matched Maxi's rebounding total. In 14 less minutes, he had 2 rebounds, and Maxi had 2 rebounds in 20 minutes of play. So I don't get that from Kidd. I really don't. You know, Dante Exum, he was really good in Toronto. He struggled, you know, in 15 minutes against the Celtics. He's still got to get his legs underneath him after missing, you know, 13 consecutive games with knee bursitis. That's what kept him out. He was only 1 of 5 in that game. Obviously, Luka is always – he always brings his A game, it seems like, for these big games, even if his team doesn't get the win. And look, credit to the Celtics. The Celtics are unbelievable. I'm not going to say that they don't have any holes, because I don't think any team is just absolutely perfect. You know, obviously they've lost 12 games this season, but they're about as close to perfect as you can see in the NBA this year. They're incredible. Their starting lineup, you know, with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Derek White, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, who has been playing amazing and miraculously staying healthy all of a sudden, which he never did in Dallas. But, you know, and then you have guys off the bench. You have Al Horford off the bench and Xavier Tillman and Peyton Pritchard. You know, they're just loaded. You've got shooters everywhere. Every single player in that starting lineup that I mentioned can shoot the ball. And, I mean, it's a luxury to have. I mean, Jason Kidd's praised the way the Celtics play and said that they're all about the team. Well, hell, I mean, if the Mavs had that same star or that same shooting in their starting lineup and coming off the bench, you know, just all around like that, I would hope they played that way too. You know, the Mavs still ended up with 20 assists on the night. The Celtics had 33. Just some crazy stuff. They're good. You got to, like I said, you got to tip your hat to them. They're good. Not making any excuses, but, you know, it's just a fact that the Mavs were on their third game in four nights, the final game of a tough four-game road trip. You know, it was about as close to a scheduled loss as you could have on an NBA schedule. And, you know, they fought for three full quarters. And then in the fourth quarter, it just unraveled quickly. But before we get into this Luka versus Jason Tatum debate, I want to talk to you guys about Prize Picks, because right now you can go to Prize Picks, download the app, and use our promo code Step Back to get up to $100 matched on your first deposit. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for the playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your latest hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will they'll have your back, and they won't count that as a loss for you. So, again, be sure to go and get the Prize Picks app and use our promo code STEPBACK for a first deposit match up to $100. I love Prize Picks. They make it real easy. You know, you go to their, if you want to, you know, pick the over-under on several different.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
props. I mean, I tend not to do it as much if the Mavs aren't playing because, you know, my luck with daily fantasy sports, if it's not Mavs related, isn't very good. But, you know, I every time or every other game, I should say, when the Mavs are playing, I go on there and mess around with it and see what I can make doing it. So be sure to go do that. Again, promo code STEPBACK, and you can get up to $100 match on your first deposit. So, for example, if you wanted to deposit $100 and you use our promo code STEPBACK, you're going to have $200 in there that you can play with. So be sure to go do that. Okay, so Luka, Jason Tatum, it's a debate. I don't know why it's a debate. I mean, Jason Tatum is amazing. He's a great player. He's just not on Luka's level. And I know people will listen to this, they'll watch this, and they'll say, oh, this is Mav Step Back. It's, you know, their name is named after Luka. Of course they're saying this. They're biased. It's a, look, this isn't even about bias. Like, of course there's natural bias that we have with Luka. But this is just a numbers thing, y'all. This isn't even like trying to insult Jason Tatum in any way. This is just saying that Luka is the better player, and that's okay. You can have two good players and one guy be better. That's fine. But what I don't like is you have people on the other side, and I say it's not just Celtics fans. It's not just Celtics media. It seems like there's several different media bases, several different fan bases that stick to this narrative that Luka hogs the ball, that he doesn't play team basketball like some of these other guys supposedly do. And I just think that's ridiculous. Like I said earlier, you don't watch basketball if you think that. Yeah, you don't watch Mavs basketball if you think that, for sure. Because I watch every single Mavs game. I watch them religiously. And Luka, if he has the talent around him, he's going to find that talent. Kyrie Irving is his co-star, and he is playing arguably the best basketball of his entire career. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He hit a huge shot in the 2016 NBA Finals over Steph Curry in a Game 7 that essentially won the Finals that year. He is an amazing player, probably pound for pound the most talented player we've seen in maybe ever as far as skills go, dribbling, all that kind of stuff, handles. And yet, his first full year with Luka, he is having arguably the best statistical year of his career. And you can say that with several other guys who have played with Luka. So the idea that, you know, Luka doesn't play team ball, and, you know, I've even seen some people say that that's one reason why players don't want to play in Dallas, because they don't think that they're going to get the ball and all this other stuff. It's so stupid. Like, how do you watch what Kyrie's doing right now? And, you know, PJ Washington getting several opportunities, and hell, even Tim Hardaway Jr. on these nights where he's going, you know, 2 or 3 of 15, it's like, why do you think he's getting that many shots if Luka's not a team player and trying to distribute and get guys involved? But anyway, I'm not going to get too far down the rabbit hole. I just think it's really dumb if people say that. But looking side by side, and we're not going to even look at this year specifically. We're just going to look at the career numbers. So here are the only categories that Jason Tatum has a slight edge over Luka. These are the only categories that he has a slight edge. Regular season, head-to-head, he has a 6-5 advantage. So he's won one more game over Luka than Luka has over him. 6-5 advantage, that's one. He has higher blocks per game by 0.2. he averages 0.7 blocks per game. Luka averages 0.5. So the head-to-head, the blocks per game, the three-point percentage, which Luka has taken a huge step up this year. But overall, Jason Tatum shoots 37.4% from three. Luka, 34.5%. So that's three. And then free throw percentage, 84.4% for Tatum, only 74.5% for Luka. So that's the only four. That's the only four things that you know, major things in my opinion, that Tatum has over Luka. You look at everything else. You look at points per game, rebounds per game, assists per game, steals per game, overall field goal percentage, effective field goal percentage, BPM, VORP. You look at first team All NBA. Luka has four. Tatum has two, even though Luka's younger. They each have five All-Star appearances. And again, Luka is a year younger. It's just, I just don't see how you can look at the talent that Jason Tatum has had around him for the last handful of years versus what Luka has had. And there's some revisionist history there with Luka too, because people, he had Jalen Brunson, he had Kristaps Porzingis on the same team. Those guys weren't playing the way they're playing right now. You know, Jalen Brunson with the Knicks, Porzingis with the Celtics, those guys weren't playing this way when they were in Dallas. And it wasn't because Luka wasn't getting them involved either. And, you know, Kristaps Porzingis will tell you this himself, that he was a little selfish when he was in Dallas. He wasn't really in the right headspace to play team-style basketball like what he's playing in Boston. If he had, it might have been different. But, you know, he also had some injury issues in Dallas too. So, you know, even if the mindset was right, there's no way to tell if, you know, he would have, if it would have made a difference. You know, even if he had the right mindset, his body might not have been able to hold up. Jalen Brunson was a late bloomer in that 2021-2022 season. And, you know, led the Mavs to a 2-1 series lead against the Jazz when Luka was out. But, you know, before that season, he really didn't help that much. So, you know, people are going to say what they're going to say. But, yeah, all I'm saying is you look at the talent Jason Tatum's had versus the talent Luka's had. And I think if you swapped both players, that the Celtics would already have a couple championships under their belt. I just – that's how I feel about it. I feel like if you take those two players and swap them out, the Boston Celtics end up having, two championships between 2018 and right now. So it is what it is. And, again, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, people want to talk about, Jason Tatum being more of a team player than Luka, not passing the ball and everything. It's like, what are you talking about? Luka averages 8.2 assists. It'd probably be 12 or 13 if it wasn't for, you know, guys like Derrick Jones Jr. or Tim Hardaway Jr. not hitting shots, wide open shots. Tatum, he averages 3.5 assists per game. So, I mean, he's obviously not passing the ball a lot. Maybe he gets some hockey assists that I'm just not seeing. But, you know, still, I think it's a dumb debate. I don't even think it's a debate. I think people just want to have something to talk about on social media, and this is a way to stir the pot, so to speak. Maybe I'm contributing to that just by having this conversation with myself, pretty much. But I just feel like it has to be said, because I feel like I'm taking crazy pills seeing all this back and forth about this online when there should be no back and forth. Objectively, Luka is the better player. And he should be higher than – well, I take it back. I don't know if he should be higher than Tatum on the MVP list because of where the Mavs are currently in the West standings, because I do think where your team is at should matter. And you know, the Celtics have been so amazing, and Tatum is, you know, arguably the best player on his team. I think you can make a case for some other guys. But, I mean, in all reality, he is the best player on the best team in the league right now, and I think that has to matter for something. But if the Mavs end up getting into the, you know, top five, even top six, if they just avoid the play-in tournament and Luka's nearly averaging a 35-point triple-double, you know, with what he's been doing this year, something that we've never seen in NBA history, I think you have to give him real MVP consideration and definitely put him ahead of Tatum, because Tatum just has so much more help, and he's had so much more help than Luka has over the last several years. So that's where I'm at on that. I'm not going to ramble any more about this. I want to hear what you think about it, though. You know, in our video, our YouTube video comments, leave your takes. You know, what do you feel about this? I mean, here's the thing. If y'all are listening to this and you do disagree with me, I want to know what proof you have that Luka isn't a team player and doesn't try to get his teammates involved. If that is true, I want to hear the argument for it, because I don't think there is one. Just from watching every game, I think people just, you know, they'll cherry pick certain, you know, highlights where Luka holds the ball for a while and shoots a step back three, but, you know, they ignore all the other stuff. They just take a couple of clips, post it social media, and then, oh yeah, there you go, Luka, ball hog. That's not how this works. So if you have a legitimate argument against it, I want to hear it. So let me know in the comments. The Mavs, they now return home to American Airlines Center after a tough four-game road trip. They're still playing Eastern Conference opponents. They play the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a Sunday game. So tomorrow at noon, they play the Sixers on ABC. Tuesday, they play the Indiana Pacers. They'll have a chance to get revenge for the Pacers just completely kicking their butts in Indiana last week. And then Thursday, they'll play the Miami Heat on TNT. And then over next weekend, they go to the Detroit Pistons and play them. So it's a pretty manageable, you know, Philadelphia still doesn't have Joel Embiid. Miami, they're always tough, but I think that's a, you know, a winnable game with the newfound depth that the Mavs have. The Mavs have been playing better. You know, they've had some lapses, obviously. The Tim Hardaway Jr. thing needs to be figured out, because I think that's, you know, he's a weak link on defense. And when you play teams as smart as the Celtics are, that, you know, a team that doesn't have very many holes, they're going to exploit that. And, you know, I think that's what happened while Tim Hardaway Jr. was on the floor, and it was just too much for the Mavs to overcome. So once they figure that stuff out, I think they'll really get rolling. But, you know, they went 1-3 on this four-game road trip, but I think they played better overall than what that record said. So we'll see. They were a Max Strus miracle 59-foot heave shot away from being 2-2 on that road trip. So we'll see if they come back home and get things together and hopefully string together a couple of wins, because like I said, I don't think they're going to fall out of play-in range. I think they're pretty much set, you know, going to be in the play-in no matter what. But if they're going to climb out of it, they can't continue to drop some of these games, especially with teams like the Warriors and the Lakers and the Suns and the Kings. All those teams are winning. So you got to win to keep pace. And if you have any hopes of moving up, you got to have it. You got to have it. So after going 1-3 on that four-game road trip, you know, they really need to aim for 3-0 on this homestand before they head out on the road again this next weekend. And, you know, it's a manageable road trip, two-game road trip where they play the Pistons and the Bulls. But they got to have them. They got to have these home games. So Philadelphia tomorrow, we'll see how it goes. No Embiid. We'll see if Luka and Kyrie and the rest of the crew can get back on track and get back into the win column. So, guys, appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in. As always, again, be sure to like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms, and subscribe on YouTube. I really appreciate the support that you guys have showed us there over the last year and a half. It's been incredible. And again, go leave us some comments on our YouTube videos. We want to hear from you. So appreciate it, y'all. Y'all have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.